In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are many names by which philosophers have referred to God, even theologians. The ground of all being. In other words, all being has its source in Him. The unmoved mover, the prime mover. Now, these concepts of God are somewhat abstract, aren't they? They may be interesting to study about, or more likely, if you study them, if you read a book of philosophy that deals with these, you may find yourself inspecting the inside of your eyelids before too very long. You cannot love the ground of all being. It's an abstract. It's an abstraction. It's not something you can get your mind around. It's not something you can sink your teeth into. It's not something you can see and hear and touch and behold and handle. You may give thanks that there is an unmoved mover, a ground of all being, through whom you have existence, but that is where it stops. With an abstraction, and you go about your merry way, and your life really is not changed at all. How different, how radically different is the biblical picture of God? A God who has emotion, a God who loves His people fiercely, a God who grieves, a God who is angered when His people turn away from Him because they are straying into the ways of death and destruction, and He does not want that. A God who communicates through the Scriptures, through the writings of Moses and the Psalms, and through the prophets. This is a God that we can begin to know because He reveals something of Himself to us. But today, we celebrate the ultimate revelation of God, of who He is and how He feels toward us. Today, this festival of the Nativity of our Lord, we celebrate and adore and worship a God who got as close to us as humanly possible, a God who took upon Himself our flesh and blood. Now, the Gospel according to John, its prologue, begins abstractly enough. John uses a word, logos, which was a word used in Greek philosophy. But John sharpens the definition of that word. John humanizes the definition of that word. For he is talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. John is referring to the second person of the Godhead who became incarnate in our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the things John says about the second person of the Godhead, aka the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and this is certainly the beginning of creation. But the Word, being God, has no beginning. He is eternal, stretching both ways into eternity. The Word was with God, face to face with God as an equal. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or You could also translate, the darkness has not comprehended it. Now again, that sounds abstract, but it does say some interesting things about this word. His eternality, that the Word is God, but must be a distinct person from the Father because he was with God. You really can't be with yourself. I don't think you can. You can't take a vacation from yourself. Okay, John goes on to say that all things were made through this Word. You, your loved ones, the trees in your front yard, the material that went to construct your house, your children, the food you eat, the clothing you wear, ultimately, all things were made through Him, the Word. And in this Word was life. And the life was the light of men, and this light shines in the darkness of a sin-dulled world, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of death, but the darkness has not overcome it. Okay, we're learning a little more about this word John speaks of. But then John brings it down to a very human level by introducing into his narrative another John, John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Evangelist writes, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, about the Word, that all might believe through him. It's John baptizing Christ. John proclaiming Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, so that people might believe through this Word and in the Word. John the Evangelist goes on to say, John the Baptist was not light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. In other words, this Word was not going to remain distant, unconcerned. It was not going to be unmoved by the troubles, the pain, the disasters of this world. He was coming into the world. And then John says, he was in the world. Whoa, the Word entered into the world. It's like a divine invasion. And even though the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He, the Word, came to his own people, the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. And here we have this promise. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Do you notice how the levels of intimacy are heightened here? To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, the Word's name, God gives the right to become children of God, true children of a true Heavenly Father. And these children of God were born not of blood, not of human ancestry, human descent, not of sexual desire, not of the will of man, but they were born of God. Peter says much the same thing in his first epistle. Okay, again, the concept of the Word that John is putting forth here is gradually becoming sharper and more clear until finally, bing, we have it in verse 14. and the Word became flesh. Became incarnate, you could say, and dwelt among us, literally tabernacled among us or pitched his tent among us. The Word came into our sphere, our everyday world, our world that, good golly, Miss Molly, it's a wonder it's still around. Only for the grace of God does this world continue, because it is not God's will for any to be lost, but all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And that truth is found in the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Now you know who this Word made flesh is. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His taking on of Himself our human nature that we celebrate at Christmas, not as though it were a magic trick, something we could ooh and ah over and applaud at, but it was for us and our benefit, for our salvation. We have seen His glory, John writes of himself and the other apostles, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word did not come into the world to punish you for your sins. He did not come into the world to wag a divine disapproving finger at you and say, no, you shouldn't have done that. The Word came into the world to be your Savior. He took upon Himself your flesh and blood, humanity, so He could die for the sins of the world. To see the glory of God, Luther would say, is to look upon the face of Jesus. Luther would even go so far as to say, there is no God but this one, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that could be open to misinterpretation, but what it comes down to is this: there is no God you can know in His grace and His mercy except our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, through Christ, we experience the undeserved kindness of God. Through Christ, through faith in His name, we become the children of God for all eternity. Continuing on, John bore witness about Him and cried out, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me, who was born in the flesh after me, ranks before me because He was before me, because He has existed from all eternity. John the Baptist was not the Christ. John the Baptist was not the Savior. John the Baptist was not divine. But our Lord Jesus Christ is, from the instant of His conception, for all eternity, He is both true God and true man. True God from the moment of His conception, born of the Virgin Mary. True God, begotten of the Father, from all eternity. And from His fullness, the fullness of the Word made flesh, we have all received not just a pinch of grace, not just a medicine dropper of grace. It's not that you're itching for grace and He scratches your back a little bit. No, the full measure of God's grace, mercy, loving kindness is poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. Poured out upon you in your baptism, poured out upon you, a poor, miserable sinner, in need of God's attention, not to judge you and to condemn you, but to pardon you, to forgive you, to grant unto you life eternal, and to name you his beloved son and daughter for Jesus' sake. The law was given through Moses, the holy law, the law of God that is good and wise, but we cannot keep the law, so the law becomes an accuser. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The one who speaks of himself refers to himself as the truth. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen the face of the prime mover. No one has ever encountered in a dark alley the ground of all being. But the only God who is at the Father's side, who is in the Father's bosom, he has made God known. You see, Christianity is unique in this, that we don't go looking for God. God comes looking for us. We don't find God. We would forever wander around in a confused maze of darkness and trouble and destruction. But God came and found us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Picture the Good Shepherd holding the lost and wounded sheep. That's Jesus. That's you. Picture Jesus on the cross praying for those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Jesus. And that's his prayer for us. And the Father does indeed forgive us for the sake of this Word who became flesh, for the sake of this Word who took upon himself our human nature, for the sake of the one conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, the one who suffered and died for the sins of the world, the one who was raised in his body, in his incarnate body, on the third day, and ascended to the right hand of God, so that now, in heaven, man is at God's right hand. Jesus, in his human nature, occupies the seat of authority, not merely with his divine nature, but with his human nature too. And where Jesus goes, there shall we follow. We follow Jesus through this world, through many troubles, dangers, through testing and temptation and sorrow. But we shall follow him beyond the grave, to heaven itself, to behold his face. And we shall follow him in our own resurrection when he comes again in glory. No one has ever seen God, but the only Son, the one true God, has made him known. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for your sake, for your salvation, out of love for you. And a God that does that, that personifies himself, you could say, is a God that you can love and be thankful to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.